speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You please sit down. How many of you like a good puzzle? I do. Perhaps a word search, or a Sudoku, maybe a crossword, or perhaps a cryptic crossword. Well, not me, because I can never do those, they're far too hard. But one of my favourites as a child, and one that I still happily do with my son at the moment, is those spot the difference ones. The ones where you have two almost identical pictures, and you have to look to see what's different between them. There might be a button on a coat that's a different colour, or just one less flower in a vase somewhere on the shelf in the background. Sometimes they are really hard to find. Those are the ones that Sam normally brings to me at the end to see if I can get them. Especially that last elusive one. And I'm sure that, like me, you cannot help but be playing rather a less fun version of Spot the Difference lately. Going to those same old places, but very different. Spots that on the ground that tell us where to stand have popped up all over the place, even here. Everything has become spaced apart. You just have to go out anywhere where there are people to see the difference in a very visible way. And we can play the same game in our lives and how we're living them at the moment. I know my diary and daily routine looked very different a year ago when I first arrived here. And let's be honest, it looked really different 4 months ago as well. And I expect most of you could say the same thing too. There's a picture at the moment doing the rounds on social media, and the caption that goes with it says, "In 2015, 100% of people polled were wrong about what they'd be doing in 5 years' time." Because let's face it, none of us saw this coming. My point, rather flippantly made, is that we are generally very good at spotting differences. And we need to be. We should be. In terms of the differences we're living through at the moment, it's important to notice them, it's important to acknowledge them. Many people are finding that really hard. And if that's you, then talk to someone, put it into words. Talk to family or friends or Ruth and I, who are always on the end of the phone. It's what we're here for. It's important to notice. And sometimes the differences we encounter in life are big and obvious, like right now. But sometimes those differences are so much smaller and more like those spot the difference puzzles. Sometimes we have to look much harder and much more closely and much more thoughtfully. And that's where I'm going right now. Because I think spot the difference in our reading is a key theme today in the Gospel passage. I think it's at the heart of the passage we've just heard in Matthew's Gospel of Jesus sending out 12. Back in February, we heard the same story, but from Mark's Gospel. That focuses much more on the going out unprepared, in need of those to whom they are being sent. But Matthew focuses much more on what he's sending them out to do. The mission in itself, if you like. In Matthew's account, we see 12 relatively unqualified, untrained, and ill-equipped men being sent out to do a really difficult job. Some might say an impossible one. In the section of the Gospel immediately before today's passage, the end of chapter 9, we see Jesus himself doing exactly the job he is now asking his disciples to do. We read, "He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." But then the Gospel goes on to immediately say, "The harvest is plentiful, the labourers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send labourers into the harvest." And in that very next paragraph, the 12 find that they are inadvertently the answer to their own prayers. They are about to be sent out as those labourers into the harvest. And Jesus promptly gives them the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and sickness. But if you look carefully, you can see a difference. Jesus is sending them out to do nothing that he hasn't already done himself. He's sending them out to do nothing that he hasn't already shown them to be possible. But the difference is they are not Jesus. Look again at what he sends them out to do. Proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. As believers, we often task ourselves with the same mission as those disciples. Do you feel ready to go out and do those things? Well, the disciples probably didn't either. Jesus might just have equipped them by giving them the authority to do it. We've done that after looking at the crowds and seeing the scale of the problem, the sheer scale of the need, and he realised that he couldn't go anywhere. He needed others to go for him. Because there is a huge gap between the ideal of Jesus doing this and the reality of those 12 newly equipped men. If Jesus couldn't do the job by himself, how on earth were they supposed to go and do it? Because they are not Jesus, and neither are we, in case you are under misapprehension. So let's look again at just what Jesus asks them to do. Proclaim the good news, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. It's really easy to read that and focus on miraculous acts and doubt our humble ability to share in that task. So let's look at it a bit sideways. In the next chapter, we will see the followers of John the Baptist sent to Jesus to find out if he really is the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for. And Jesus responds, characteristically, not with a yes or a no, that would be far too easy, but instead he refers back to the sort of instructions he's just given to the 12. He says, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. What do you think? Because it turns out that the miraculous acts are not the point of the mission after all, but rather they are the signs to accompany the main purpose. Signs so that people will believe and believe that this is really it, this is really happening right now. So what is the main aim of the 12? There in verse 7, proclaim the good news. Now those words, good news, have come to be a shorthand for the entire story of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it can't mean that here because we haven't got there yet. Jesus goes on to tell them exactly what the good news is he wants them to proclaim. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Not will come, not is coming, but is already here. It is so close you can touch it. But looking around, his disciples wouldn't see a world very different from what they saw before. There wouldn't be the obvious sort of differences that we have noticed about changes in our lives. Because the kingdom of heaven can be really hard to spot. It's a kingdom that looks like a mustard seed. It's a kingdom that bursts into our world, not in a blaze of glory, but one that comes quietly in the night to a stable in Bethlehem and arrives in triumph to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. It's a kingdom that is instead made visible by the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the cleansing of the lepers, and the casting out of the demons. It's that case of spot the difference again. What is changed? What is healed? What is restored and renewed? We know the kingdom is at hand when we see these things. And the job of the 12 to go and make that kingdom visible. Not to perform miracles of great power, but to make the kingdom of heaven visible. To make visible the things of God. And our job is to do the same. But then I find that we're back to that impossible task again. Because it doesn't matter how much education we have or how many training days we get sent on, we can't raise the dead and we can't perform miracles, and heaven knows I often wish that we could. But we can make a difference. We can show that the kingdom of heaven has really come near. And that starts again by spotting the difference. The difference between what is kingdom vision of the world and the reality of the world we kingdom vision alluded to by Jesus in his Beatitudes, where he shows those changes in situation. The poor in spirit, theirs will be the kingdom. Those who mourn will be comforted. The meek will inherit, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. The kingdom is made visible by the change, by the difference. So to go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near means that the first task is to be able to recognise it when we see it, because it is already here. That involves close and careful looking, because not all miracles are showy and flashy. You have to look carefully and closely with loving eyes, the sort of eyes that God looks through at Israel in our reading from Hosea. In it, God looks at Israel like a father looks at a child learning to walk, tenderly watching his first tentative steps, taking him up in his arms when he falls and healing him. Tender, loving, and compassionate looking. So looking back over your own story, over your own life, where have you seen the kingdom of heaven draw near? Look closely. Where has it made a difference to you? Your life probably isn't perfect. No one's is really. But the difference is there. Sometimes we don't notice it. Sometimes we choose to ignore it. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when we see it, go and tell others, like that proud parent that can speak the days and wax lyrical about the first steps of their child. Go and tell, go and proclaim, however small it may seem. Our psalm this morning, that's why I read it, reminds us of the importance of this. Remember the wonderful works he has done, the his miracles, the judgments he has uttered. Give thanks to the Lord, make known his deeds among the people. Okay, the psalmist is talking about the Exodus from Egypt and full of all those miracles, but don't let that put you off. Notice the difference the kingdom has made in your life. Go and tell it. For in the absence of showing miracles, our stories are the best tool we've got for making the kingdom visible in the world. So we've acknowledged the difference between us and Jesus and our abilities to the task at hand. We've looked lovingly at our own story to notice where that kingdom was drawn near. And now, for one last difference. To open our eyes and look at the world around us and notice where the kingdom isn't. This is the difference between what should be and what is. When we look and see the kingdom to be lacking, it is our job to make it visible and give a sign that it really is here. It's our job to join in with Jesus' work, to act as his hands and his feet on earth. So look around. Who are the sick of our days today? How can we help them? We've heard too much about disease lately, but we've also heard about many people going above and beyond in an attempt to heal them. The kingdom is at hand. Who are the dead of our times? Sadly, there have been far too many deaths of late. But along with them, there are many left mourning who continue to live in the shadow of that valley of death. And many more again who have seen their lives crushed before their eyes, their hopes and dreams shattered. Many people who fear they have no future. How can we raise them up? The kingdom is at hand. And who are today's lepers? All those whose society tries to cast out, to shut out, to keep down. The voices that are silent and have too long gone unheard on account of their gender, their nationality, their colour, their sexuality, their poverty. How can we reach out and touch them and show them that they must remain outside no longer? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And who are those with the demons of today? Those who are haunted by their past memories. Those addictions, all those who are carrying heavy burdens. How can we lighten their loads? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in the end, it's all about compassion. In the reading from Hosea, God turns from judgment upon Israel because of his compassionate love for them. And Jesus, when he is going about and doing what he's told the 12 to do, is moved by compassion when he sees the crowds and notices how harassed and helpless they are. The kingdom of heaven is at hand when we do so little as to just stop rushing about our own day and to notice that someone is harassed and helpless and make a difference with even the smallest of acts in their life. And no matter what training or special skill